Good morning. You know, I want to, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, and you guys have heard this many times, and I really feel like I want to begin every message with this verse. Whether that happens or not, I don't know, but this verse is one of my favorite verses, and it really is going to go to the message that I'm going to be speaking to you from John chapter 6, and that is Psalm 118 verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, that is a command from God. And whether you're suffering, as Matt was sharing from his heart, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, what matters is that you rejoice in the day. The Lord is sovereign. Whatever you're going through, God is in control, and He wants you to rejoice in it. And so that, to me, is a great verse to start out with, no matter what sermon I'm preaching for, because you are here to hear what God has to say in your life. And so, I don't know. I may share that verse every time I preach now. If anything else, you're going to memorize one verse out of the 35,000 verses that God has given. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 6. If you have your bulletins, you can turn to there at this time as we continue in our series in the Gospel of John, going verse by verse into knowing more about Jesus Christ and the truth about who Jesus is, the Son of God. In John chapter 6, follow along with me, starting in verse 15. We'll start in 15. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force, to make him a king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat. And they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat. And immediately, the boat was at hand, or at the land, to which they were going. This is God's word this morning. Let me ask God's blessing, if you don't mind. Father, thank you for this time I spend in your word. And I pray, God, that by the work of the Holy Spirit, that the people here, myself included, would hear a better message than what comes out of my mouth. That the word of God would so penetrate the lives of people today that we would walk away from here changed. Not just convicted, but changed for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get into the message, just a real short thing. We had our marriage retreat this weekend. It was such a blessing. I see many of the people that were here. Some of the people aren't here because they were so tired from that marriage retreat and getting beat up. They didn't want to get beat up again today. No, I'm just kidding. But I'll tell you what, there was many, many blessings of that marriage retreat. And one of the blessings, I got permission from Larry to share. Larry sent me a message after the marriage retreat and told me that he was under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and he asked Jesus to save him from his sins. And sent a message and I shared it with Pat and he was super excited. He was our guest speaker and one of the many blessings of that marriage retreat. But not only that, to know Larry that you asked Jesus to save you from your sins, that's pretty cool. That was a pretty cool thing. This morning, from John chapter 6, I want to start with this. When I was little, you know, maybe Mo's age, 4 or 5 years old, when a thunderstorm was coming, and you would hear those, I mean, I'm talking thunderstorms here. You know, when you were little, those ones that would be like, I don't even want to make the noise, like, you know, go crack, crack, and then boom! And it would just scare the living daylights out of you. I mean, do you remember when you were a little kid? You'd run to your mom's room or your dad's room maybe, and you were so scared at the thunder and the lightning, and you'd go to your parents' room and you'd be like, okay, help me out here. You know, I am so scared of this storm that's coming. And you know, my mom would try any number of things to kind of get me to not focus on the storm. She would say, you know, Greg, when it lightnings, count until you hear the thunder. And that'll tell you how long the storm will last or how far away the storm is or any number of things to distract me from the storm that was at hand. Now, I don't even know if that's true. It may be true. People are looking at me like, you're weird. And your mom has no idea about meteorology or a meteorologist, whatever. But it worked. It got my focus off the storm. This morning, Jesus is going to give a lesson to the disciples about storms. Jesus is going to give us a lesson about storms. Guys, storms are coming. Storms are coming. And I gotta tell you, I'm gonna go out on a limb here. And maybe some of you will be offended by this. But I tell you what, the American churches and maybe even High Point in general do not realize that storms are coming. And we are so weak in our faith that when a storm comes, we abandon God. We want nothing to do with God. We only like Jesus when things are great. You know, these disciples, if I can just bring you back into what's going on with the disciples. I mean, think about what's going on in the last six chapters. Okay? We got John the Baptist telling everyone, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Follow this man. The Messiah is on the earth. I mean, if you're a Jew, you were freaking out. They were excited. And the disciples that were following John were now following the Savior of the world. They were pumped. Okay? They saw water turn to wine. Can you imagine using pots of utensils to clean and wash utensils, and all of a sudden, it's the best wine you've ever tasted? They've seen miracles. They saw a cleansing of the temple. They saw Jesus go in and whip a cord and drive out these Pharisees who were making profits off what God was making his house a house of prayer. They saw Jesus get very mad at the Pharisees and the religious leaders. I mean, they were excited. They saw Jesus change lives. Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the official's son, the lame man of 38 years. I mean, you got, put it in context. These people were so jacked about being with Jesus. It's almost like a brand new believer. You ever been around somebody that just been saved? I mean, Larry, I guarantee he's on cloud 9 right now. And those of you who trusted Christ, the very beginning times that you're just, I mean, anything you hear about the Word, anything that goes on in the Word, you're just like, oh Lord, you're so good. I take it. I love it. And then something happens. A storm occurs. And the disciples were going to learn a lesson about storms. Because see, the gospel is just not all parties and games and miracles. It's about storms. It's about this sin in this world. High Point, you got to understand, we live in a world that hates God. And our lives are characterized by sin. And unless you know Christ, your identity is in the one you believe in. And hopefully your identity is in Christ. And if that's true, you can weather a storm. And so Jesus wanted to take these disciples through a storm. You know, they'd had fun and games. Things had been great. They wanted to make him a king. They just got, as Jason preached, the feeding of the 5,000. I mean, they had so many ideas about what being with Jesus was all about. And Jesus said, oh, I'm going to show you a storm. So as we pick it up in John 6, I want to go through the circumstances that we got here. And as I mentioned before, I just feel like our churches are so inequipped for storms. You know, you look at churches in China and North Korea and Iran and Iraq, these people that are constantly bombarded with storms. What is the glowing example that they have but that they just follow Christ through the storm? And they are an example to me. If you look at Foxes, or read the book Foxes, the Book of Martyrs, and you read the Voice of the Martyrs, the magazine, you read about these people who under immense persecution, immense storm, are still following Christ to the death. You know, and I got to wonder in America, our churches, you know, and we've had people even in this church in this short time that they sprout out. They're so excited about Christ. And then when a storm comes, you never see them again. Now, is that a fruit of their salvation? Maybe. Matthew chapter 13 is very clear. When the seed is sown, some of it's on rocky land. Some of it will not produce any fruit because they never really trusted Jesus as their Savior. Followers of Christ, God will put storms in your life to produce a genuineness of faith. Are you ready for a storm? Are you ready for a storm? I don't think the disciples were ready. Here's why. Let's look at the circumstances. I'm also going to use a little bit of a parallel passages. You will see in the other Gospels in Mark chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 14, you'll see parallel passages that the other writers of the Gospels accounted of this story of Jesus walking on the water. So I'm going to bring in some of their factual data on this actual event of the storm. So let's look at the circumstances of this storm, okay? John says it was late at night. Now, just understand the context. Jesus went up into the mountain to pray. And he told his disciples, hey, get in this boat and head to Capernaum. Okay? So they were going to be alone. They were going to be without Jesus. Now, they waited by the shore, it says in Matthew 6 and Matthew 14. They waited for Jesus. They wanted Jesus to go with them. I mean, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want Jesus to go with you? Of course you do. But Jesus ordered them, go. And so they waited as long as possible. And they started going at night. Okay, so let's, number one, circumstances. In Matthew chapter 14, it says it was in the fourth watch. So what does that mean? Well, it's anywhere between about 3 in the morning and 6 in the morning. So it is extremely dark. Very uncomfortable. Okay? Now these guys were professional fishermen. It wasn't a big deal that they would go out in the dark. So they weren't probably that scared. But the circumstances is that it's dark. Have you ever been on a boat when it's dark? I've been on a boat when it's dark. It's kind of freaky. Okay? You're moving and you can't see. Okay? Not great circumstances. They were without Jesus. Okay? That's another circumstance. Now, obviously, they'd been with Jesus. Things were happening. They were now without Jesus. In Mark chapter 8, there's another story when Jesus was actually with them in a boat. Remember the story? They were in the boat. Jesus was sleeping. And they're like, hey, Jesus, wake up. Don't you know we're about ready to die? What does he do? He calms the sea. Oh, you of little faith. So they remember what it was like to have Jesus in the boat. Okay? They were without Jesus. Another circumstance. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles. You need to understand the Sea of Galilee is approximately 7 miles wide. So if they rowed 3 to 4 miles, that would put them at about the middle of the sea. Okay? Now, it wouldn't have taken that long for them to row 7 miles to get to Capernaum. But if you look at Mark chapter 6, you look at Matthew chapter 14, it said that Jesus watched them as they painfully couldn't go any further. So in other words, Jesus put them in a circumstance in the middle of the sea, rowing and going nowhere. Tired, wore out. I'm guessing a little frustrated. Okay? Have you been there? A little tired? Been working all day? You come home and, you know, look around. Where's my supper? You know? Stuff's laying all over the place. You're tired. You're worn out. You're fed up. You're at your wit's end. It says they were terrified. They were frightened when they saw Jesus. Another circumstance. So that word frightened, you know, when you're scared, there are two types of things that can happen. You have the flight or you have the fight reaction to fear. Okay? In the Greek here, this word frightened is the flight. It means you want to run. Okay? They are terrified. They are scared. They are out of their wits' end. This is horrible circumstances, right? So let's put it in the context of your storm. You know, and some of you are thinking, I'm not in a storm, and I'm not meaning to be depressing here this morning. But you need to know a storm's coming. A storm is coming. If you're not in one now, if you're not coming out of one in a little bit, you will be in the midst of a storm if you live long enough. So look at our circumstances. They were out at 3 and 4 in the morning. So let me ask you, are you in a place you shouldn't be? I don't think they should have been in the middle of a sea at 3 in the morning. You know, my dad used to say, nothing good ever happens after midnight. These disciples should never have been in the sea at 3 in the morning. If you know anything about the Sea of Galilee, it is known for its quick storms. It's known for the wind coming through the mountains and then just causing a storm to counteract with again, I'm not a meteorologist. I don't know the storm. But if you know anything about the Sea of Galilee, it is known for its quick storms. They knew not to be out there. They were without Jesus. Let me ask you, are you right now not close to God? Do you feel like He's distant from you? What does your circumstance look like? Are you tired and weary? Are you battling life? Are you rowing upstream right now? Are you worn out? What is your circumstance this morning? How's your storm this morning? You know, the word frightened there again, I'm going to go back to that. It means to be terrified. It means to want to run. And I'm guessing some of you have never been so scared that you wanted to run. Maybe you have. I want to share a couple examples in my own life. I remember Laura and I going to the hospital and seeing her dad. You know, this is after we had gotten a call that there was something wrong with her dad. I remember going to the hospital and the doctors telling us that it's not good news. And that we had to go to Omaha, and ultimately it was cancer, and he was going to die. And I don't know if I ever told my wife this, maybe I did, but I remember after hearing that and leaving Laura at the hospital, I remember going home and just crying to my dad. I didn't know what to do. I was so scared. I wanted to run. I didn't know how to help. I had never gone through something like that. I had never gone through that kind of circumstance, that kind of storm in my life. I wanted to run. I'm like, Dad, I don't know what to do. And he just said, Greg, go be with her. I was one scared puppy. I wanted to run. I remember being told when we had Brinkley that there were spots on her brain. And thinking something might be wrong. I was terrified. I wanted to run. I remember getting a call from my brother, and I've shared this before, when his daughter died at 3 years of age. I remember yelling, no, I'm so sorry. I had no idea what to do. My wife comes running down. What happened? She's thinking the worst, like maybe my parents died or something happened. I wanted to run. I remember losing my job after 11 years. For financial flexibility. I remember walking upstairs, because I was working from my home, walking upstairs telling Laura, I just lost my job. I wanted to run. I remember Laura getting a call that her mom was going to die. that there was something wrong with her breathing. And, you know, seeing my wife lose both her mom and her dad, you're scared. You want to run. I remember waiting to get a call whether something's cancer or not. You want to run. I don't know if you've been through those kinds of storms, but if you live long enough, you will go through a storm. So what are you going to do? Jesus took these disciples through a storm. He is causing this storm to teach us a lesson about how to react, about what to do when a storm comes, because the disciples were going to learn. When Jesus left, when Jesus rose from the dead, they were going to be without the physical Jesus on the land. But he said, remember in John 15, I must go. But when I go, I will send you a helper, and he will help you and guide you in all righteousness. The work of the Holy Spirit. God was never going to leave us, but he needed the disciples to know that they had to weather the storm. So how do we weather the storm? Really just two things. And this is kind of lesson time. This is how we weather the storm. This is what Jesus wants us to know. The first thing, focus. You need to focus. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, it says this. Jesus, I'm sorry, let me get the verse. Not 26. 20, sorry. In verse 20. But Jesus said to them, it is I. Do not be afraid. It is I. Do not be afraid. What is he saying there? Well, if you know Greek, what Jesus is saying is ego eimi. He's using the word for the I am. He's saying not, hey guys, it's Jesus. Can't you recognize me? I'm walking on the water. Check it out. No, Jesus is saying is, disciples, I am. I am God. Don't be afraid. They knew exactly what he was saying in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. When Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of the fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to my people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. The disciples needed to know that God was in control. That God was on the water. That God is in control. Focus. If God has put this storm in your life, focus on who's in control. Focus on Jesus Christ. And when you do, in the midst of the storm, his command is do not be afraid. The opposite of fear is not having more courage, though that is a good thing. The opposite of fear is increasing your faith. Understanding the focus is that Jesus is in control, that he is God. And when your focus is on God, what happens? Well, 1 Peter chapter 6, verse 8. I don't even know if I put that up there. Did I put 1 Peter chapter 6, verse 8? All right, 1 Peter 6, okay. Ultimately, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, you will see that in the midst of struggles, in the midst of suffering, that God has a plan and a purpose in those sufferings so that you might show people how God gets you through those storms. God wants you to focus on him in the midst of your storm. Are you focusing or are you looking at your circumstances? You're tired. You're weary. You're in the middle of a river. You're in a place where you shouldn't be. You're not close to God. All these different things has made your focus so that you want to run and not weather the storm. The second thing, found in verse 21, it says, "Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land in which they were going." The second thing that God wants you to do, that Jesus wants you to do in the midst of your storm. Are you ready for this? You're not going to believe it, but he wants you to rejoice. Did you know that God wants you to rejoice in your storm? And you're saying, yeah, right. How do I rejoice through all these things that I just listed with my wife? How do I rejoice? You rejoice because God has a plan in those storms. How many of you have gone through a storm and the end result is that you're closer to God? I gotta guess there are people in this room that have gone through many storms, maybe a few, in their Christian walk, and that storm produced the closest with God that you've never had, or at least had forgotten about. When you focus on who God is, you will be able to rejoice in the trial. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4 says this, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing." Do you know why these storms are in your life? To produce a genuineness of faith. And I gotta tell you, church in America, High Point Church, when storms come and your gospel is all about Jesus and what I can get and only good news, but when a storm comes, you run. You run. And the people that don't know Christ are looking at you. They want to know how a Christ follower reacts to storms because they know how they do. But you call yourself a Christian in the midst of a storm and you run. Not only run, we go back to the same sins that entangled us. We go back to drinking. We go back to drugs. We go back to any number of things because we got to find temporary joy in the midst of our suffering. We are pathetic Christians when we cannot weather the storm. We need to be on our knees asking God to help us in these storms so that He might get glory. It is a command of God to rejoice in your storm, so that others might see Jesus in you. Are you? Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 say this. "More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope." I gotta tell you, High Point, God can do an amazing work in our storms. See, the disciples had had just great things were going on in the life and ministry of Jesus in this short time. I mean, I just listed them all. And some of you might be in the same position right now. I mean, things are going good at your job. Family seems great. I mean, you're just like rocket. Now, I'm not trying to be depressing here, but a storm's coming. And if you're not close to God, if you're not reading His Word, if you're not where you should be, you will forsake the God you love. You don't think you will? You remember the disciples before Jesus died? Somebody's going to deny me here. Oh no, we won't deny you. We will follow you to the death, Jesus. All of us. What happened? All of them ran. All of them ran. You know, God's in the business of forgiving us, and I praise God for that, because I have not weathered many storms the way I should. But it's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity for God to work in my life for the next storm, and the next storm, and the next storm. How is God working in your storm? Are you looking at the circumstances? Have you lost focus? Did Jesus just walk by you? Focus. The disciples needed to focus during the storm, that Jesus is in control. And secondly, that they can rejoice in the midst of the trial. What's the result? Well, it said immediately they were in the land that they were supposed to be. You want to know this, the benefits of following Christ in the storm? You end up where God wants you to be. You know, God's going to get you there, whether you're kicking or screaming. But wouldn't it be a joy if you're going there rejoicing and you're just like, I'm exactly where I should be. You wouldn't even believe it. That's the fruit of following Christ. That's the fruit of weathering the storm that you're in. You're exactly where God wants you. You know, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're in the biggest storm of your life. Sin will encompass you. Sin will destroy you. But most importantly, it will separate you from the God who loves you. God's not on trial here. Jesus came because we were condemned already. He came to save us. And if you have never trusted, like Larry yesterday, if you have never asked Jesus to forgive you from your sins, if your life is marked by completely falling apart when storms come, that could be evidence of the fruit not being in you, the Holy Spirit not being in you. Examine yourself. Ask yourself, am I truly a follower of Christ in good times and in bad? Jesus wants to produce on fire followers of Christ that have counted the cost. Followers of Christ, when persecution comes, that you're like, I'm ready, Christ. I will follow you through this storm. That's what Christ wants to produce. Because he did. And he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Focus, rejoice in the midst of your storm. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you, Lord, that your gospel is true and that your gospel does tell us that we will suffer because you suffered. You didn't tell us it was rainbows and cotton candy. You told us that there will be suffering for the Christ follower. And Father, help us. Help us to weather the storm for your glory. Help us to give you glory in the midst of our storms. Lord, we want our lives to emulate the Savior Jesus Christ. As Romans 8 said, that we might be conformed into the image of your Son. Oh, Jesus, help us in the storm. Help us to focus. Help us to rejoice for your glory. And in Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as Matt closes the song.